The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation. Back at the Henderson facility for your Las Vegas Raiders, but we are going to wrap up the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. I am Eddie Pascal, and you are listening to First Stop Indy, presented by EOS. And guys, the final episode of the year, of the season, I should say, of First Stop Indy. And man, what an adventure it has been. As I said, the Combine officially in our rearview mirror as we are back here in beautiful Las Vegas, waiting to reflect and look ahead ultimately to free agency, which I cannot believe starts a week from now. More on that in a little bit. But what a week it was in Indianapolis. We learned a lot, tons of lessons that we will hopefully take with us throughout the rest of the offseason. And man, we learned a lot about the individual prospects in this year's draft class. We had a chance to talk to a bunch of our friends around the league, get a little bit smarter, and I hope you guys got a little smarter with us. But also, I think we had a chance to kind of learn a little bit more about the partnership of Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce, and what ultimately they are looking for in terms of prospects in this draft cycle. As I said, it's been a lot of fun, and we appreciate you guys for going along with the ride. Going along for the ride with us. But as I said, we got one more episode, so we're gonna tie things up in just a few minutes. We're gonna play our interview with our friend, the great Miles Simmons from PFT. That is Pro Football Talk. Great to catch up with Miles. Those of you who have, I wouldn't say covered, but those of you who've been fans of the Silver and Black for a hot minute will know Miles and his work. He used to work here in Las Vegas covering the Silver and Black before ultimately transitioning to cover the league on a national scale with PFT. And it was so good to catch up with Miles, so good to hang out with him. And as I said, we will get to that interview in a sec. But I kind of want to, before we get to Miles and ultimately look ahead for what the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks we'll have in store for the old Silver and Black, I kind of wanted to reflect back on, as I said, our big lessons, right? Kind of some of our big takeaways that we learned from our time in Indy. And I think for me, the biggest thing that I take away from this, right, and we'll talk about all the combine numbers and the fastest 40, shout out to Xavier Worthy, we'll get to him in a sec. But, I think for me, the biggest takeaway from our time in Indianapolis, getting a chance to talk to Tom Telesco, getting a chance to talk to Antonio Pierce, hearing those guys interact, hearing folks around the league kind of react to their partnership, is I feel like the Raiders are at a great place right now. I feel like they have the two right guys tasked with building this thing up in the right way. And I feel like the relationship between AP and Tom is building, growing, and maturing. I think it's important that all of us remember as we sit here in early March, like these are not two dudes who have known each other for 20 years. These are not two guys that, went to college together or had a working relationship outside of the past 6, 7, 8 weeks. And so I think for me, kind of having that outside looking in type of view, seeing AP, hearing AP, seeing Tom, hearing Tom, it really does feel like they are two guys that are in lockstep in what they want from this team, in how they want to build out this team. I asked both of them separately over the course of the days that we were in Indy about the qualities, the characteristics that they look for in quarterbacks in particular, right? And look, we're going to talk about the quarterbacks a lot between now and the end of April for obvious reasons. But I said, let's just take the name out of it. Right, take out player X went to the University of blank. What do you want in a quarterback? And they both said the same thing. They both had the exact same first characteristic, and that characteristic was leadership. And look, I don't want to put too much into that because, the GM and the head coach said the same thing in terms of the quarterback. But I think what that shows is that's a microcosm for kind of how that relationship is growing and maturing. I think they're going to be an incredible balance for one another. I think AP and Tom are going to be perfect kind of, counterweights to one another, for lack of a better term. And I think the fact that Tom has been there, done that, has been in the NFL for decades, has seen every kind of draft day scenario unfold in front of him, the fact that he is now paired with Antonio Pierce who has been very candid and very open and very transparent about, hey, this is the first time that I'm going through this process, you know, has been open and transparent about, look, I'm going to have to lean on my staff. I'm going to have to lean on the people that I brought in here to do a job. I'm going to have to lean on Tom Telesco. So I think that the fact that these guys are growing and maturing together is really, really exciting. And I think, look, if you're a fan of the Raiders, right? If you're Raider Ron, right? I think that you have to feel good. You have to feel confident. You have to say, look, it's not going to happen overnight. Regardless of what happens in that last weekend in April, you're not going to win any games in May or June or July. But what you are going to do is build a foundation for sustained success. And I think that is the key word coming out of the combine a little bit, is sustained success. Because the Silver and Black have found, you know, victories and wins and really nice moments here and there over the past couple seasons, right? I mean, we look even back to this season. You look back to what they did to the Chargers, setting a little, organization franchise history against them. It was a great moment. It was a great day. It was a great night. It was a lot of fun. But now it's about building and stacking those moments. It's about not only being, you know, being competitive and taking down the Chiefs once. It's playing them competitively and taking them down time after time after time after time. Because we've seen it. We've experienced the kind of flash in the pan, the, hey, this is a great day at the office, but we're sitting here on the couch in mid-January watching the other teams play in the playoffs. It's about sustained success. And as I said, I think Tom and AP and that partnership are committed to building that type of sustained success, and that is going to be a lot of fun. But, another thing that we took away from our time in Indy is, man, some of these individual efforts, some of these individual results, really, really, whew, impressive. We look at Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas, enjoys a little bit of history in Indy over the past couple days. Fastest 40 in combine history. Coming in at a 4.21. Woo! Blazing. I tweeted out earlier, or over the weekend, I should say, when the wife and I were cooking up names for the baby and ultimately landed on the name Xavier, and I said, it's a fast name. That's an athlete name. I didn't know it was 4.21 fast. That's a fast name, though. So shout out to Xavier Worthy, man. We look at this entire class of wide receivers led by Maserati Marvin Harrison Jr., and man, there are some playmakers there. And will the Raiders ultimately decide to go that route at number 13? It remains to be seen. But man, some of the talent, the depth of talent at wide receiver in this class, ooh, really, really, really exciting. And another one, because I just love giving some love to the big boys, is our man Amarius Mims. That is the tackle from Georgia with just some absurd speed numbers for a big man. As I pull it up here just now. So Amarius Mims, as I said, the big man from Georgia, he ran the shuttle at 4.33. Mr. Mims weighs 433 pounds. And this is courtesy of our friend Tampa Bay Trey, Trevor Sikkema from PFF. He goes, let me try to explain how insane this is. Only seven offensive linemen since 1999, so let's call it the past 25 years, have recorded a faster short shuttle time at the combine. So seven in 25 years. The heaviest of them was 304 pounds. There is only one other offensive lineman 330 pounds or bigger even recorded at 4.5, and that's Ryan Diem, who ran a 4.46 in 2001. Again, Mr. Mims ran a 4.33 shuttle at 340 pounds. And look, man, we talk about the offensive line for your Las Vegas Raiders. That is an area that I think it's fair to say we will see addressed in one way, shape, or form over the coming months. A handful of free agents in terms of starters from that line in 2023. And whew, man, you tell me you wouldn't like to add a freak athlete like Amarius Mims to that mix? That could be pretty, pretty fun. But in terms of other things that were really fun in Indy, and I say this every time we have a chance to go to these events, whether it's the Super Bowl, which thankfully was in our backyard this year, or the Combine, or league meetings, things like that, whatever it is. It's so great to be in an environment where we get to see a lot of our friends. I was telling someone this story the other day. You know, when we were at the Combine, we were on Media Row, almost every NFL club is there, right? So there were a handful that we didn't notice in attendance. But, I mean, the vast majority of NFL teams, their digital crews are in the mix in Indy. And so it's a lot of fun to kind of have a chance to kind of pick the brains of our counterparts around the league, see what's working for them, see what, hey, maybe isn't working for them, and candidly see what we can kind of steal and pick and say, hey, it'll make our content even better. All that's to say, it's so much fun to see all of our pals. It really is. You know, I've been a big proponent of keeping the Combine in Indy as long as humanly possible, and I come out of the 2024 NFL Combine in Indianapolis saying, yeah, keep it there. It's perfect. No need to tweak it. Right in the middle for everyone. Let's, you know, not recreate the wheel in this regard and keep the Combine in Indy. Another thing we need to keep is having our friend Miles Simmons on the program. It is so good to talk to Miles. Miles, a wealth of knowledge. As I said, certainly a guy who follows the Silver and Black pretty closely, but now kind of tasked with covering the league on a national level, and it was so good to see him, to talk to him, to connect with him once again. So without further ado, enjoy our conversations with PFT's Miles Simmons. Miles, good sir, it is so good to see you here.
It is always good to see you too, Eddie. Always good to chop it up as we get on the record as opposed to our conversations that are off the record that might be better fodder, but that's why we don't put them on the record.
Yeah, that's smart. Everyone here aligned. That's probably the best way to do it. As we sit here, though, at kind of the beginning of Combine Week, you know, what do you hoping to get out of the next 3, 4, or 5 days here in Indy?
Well, I like to sort of get a gauge as to sort of where there might be movement in the next few weeks. I think the biggest domino that everybody's expecting to fall is whether or not the Bears are going to trade the number one overall pick, right? And I don't, if it's me, I'm not doing that. I don't really necessarily think it's a hard decision, you know, when you have somebody like a Caleb Williams, a Drake May available at number one overall. You have Justin Fields, who you know, and also who you are going to have to pay if you keep, right? And based on the way contracts are in this league, and based on the fact that if you keep him, right, you're probably going to pick up that fifth-year option, guarantee him X amount of dollars, and then eventually have to sign him to a bigger deal. Like, I think it makes sense for the Bears, keep number one overall, trade Justin Fields somewhere. And if that's the case, all right, well, where's Justin Fields going to go? We'll have to see. Like, those are the kinds of things where it's like, all right, let's sort of see if we can put out some feelers, start getting an understanding of where that domino will fall.
You know, it's interesting too, you know, like I said, very early in the week, but I think one thing I've been kind of surprised by is talking to folks and hearing from Tom Telesco earlier this afternoon, where he said it doesn't feel like, in his perspective, there's a clear kind of consensus on how the top portion of the quarterbacks kind of shake out this year, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that feels, you know, obviously someone like you who is just watching from afar, it feels like you have a pretty clear 1-2-3 mm-hmm. in Caleb, Drake, and Daniels, yes. depending on how you want to shake those three out. But I was interested to hear that Tom kind of views it, I don't want to say differently, but he says, you know, 32 teams are going to evaluate those tiers of quarterbacks in 32 different ways. As we discuss the most important position in professional sports, and with the Silver and Black, who certainly have questions at that position, how do you kind of look at these prospects in 2024 in terms of the signal callers?
Well, I think that it's a good year to need one, right? And this is one of those situations where it's part of why I think that the Bears need to utilize that number one overall pick, right? If you are a team that's looking at quarterbacks, like, this is one of the years that you should actually go and draft them. Like, there are good years to do this and there are bad years to do this. I think we probably would have said the same thing if we were sitting here a couple years ago in 2021 and we think, you know, okay, well, this looks like a good year to draft a QB. And it turns out maybe it wasn't necessarily the best year, right? I mean, we see Trevor Lawrence. He's good. Is he great? No, certainly not. Not yet. Zach Wilson, that hasn't worked out. Justin Fields, we're talking about trying to replace him. So these things sometimes look like they're going to be one thing and then they end up being another. But that being said, you know, it's not, you know, the Kenny Pickett draft class, right? Where it's one guy and you're thinking, man, that's maybe the guy that you can get in the first round. And other than that,
Yeah, and I think what's interesting too, and obviously, you know, as you cover all 32 teams, but you obviously have a close connection with the Silver and Black from your time in Las Vegas. Like, it is interesting to see how the Raiders are going to attack that position. And call me crazy, like, this is just me prognosticating, right?
Oh, boy.
But like, It feels like if the Raiders were to take the best available guy at 13, regardless of position, right? The best, for sake of conversation, the best offensive lineman.
Sure.
And then you're able to address the quarterback need in round two. To me, for a team that finished the season with a lot of positive momentum, for a roster that is certainly not bare, like that to me seems like a pretty decent place to land if you're a fan of the Silver and Black.
Okay, I would agree with you there, Eddie, because you're drafting at 13, you're not drafting
exactly.
at the top three.
Yeah.
Right? And so in order
And I'm
to,
so nervous about trading up. I really am.
Yeah,
like,
because, I mean, and Mike Florio, who I obviously work with, talks a lot about this. You know, when you start trading up to get somebody, that puts even more pressure on that player to be something that they may or may not be. Think about Trey Lance, right? I mean, there was a lot of inherent pressure on him because of everything that the 49ers gave up in order to get him. It doesn't work out. They go and they get Brock Purdy in the seventh round, and lo and behold, they end up in the Super Bowl this year. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, I think that it makes more sense if you're in the middle of the first round. You got to get best available player, right? We know at this point that Antonio Pierce can motivate the hell out of a team. Right, we have seen the Raiders win games against one of the elite teams in the league without completing a pass in the second half. So like, these things can happen, right, if you construct your team the right way. But I think if you were drafting in the top five, it'd be one thing, right? If you're at 13 and you don't necessarily have somebody that you love right there that you really feel confident about building around, then yeah, maybe you pick a player at a premium position, like an offensive lineman, like another edge rusher to pair with Max Crosby, like somebody in the secondary that you're going to need in order to lock guys down. That to me makes a lot of sense.
You know, I'm glad you brought up AP, and AP certainly has been, you know, has kind of, I think in the best possible way, understands the heartbeat of the fan base, right? He understands
yes.
what it means to be a Raider. He
no
understands
doubt.
About leaning in, and we talk about, hey, there's 32 teams and 31 teams might do it a certain way, then we're going to do it a little bit differently. And that's okay, and we should embrace that, and that should be celebrated. I think when we kind of zoom out, though, the pairing of him and Tom Telesco, and we heard from Tom earlier this afternoon, mm-hmm. he goes, look, you know, he was asked about a lot of AP's media appearances and, you know, the stuff that he's talking about, and AP, or, and Tom goes, look, for me, it's great. He goes, I'm really boring. AP can be, you know, really entertaining, and we're gonna balance each other out. But to me, like, that's how I see it, though. They're going to be a perfect marriage in terms of a personality fit, in terms of a guy like Tom who's done it, who's been in the league for a long time, Antonio, who is young, on the ascent. Like, to me, it just seems like a perfect partnership going forward.
It does seem like they do strike a good balance of yin and yang, if that's the way we want to term it, you know? And I think having somebody who is experienced like Tom Telesco in building a roster, and building a roster that is supposed to compete in the AFC West, I think that does kind of give the Raiders an advantage from that personnel standpoint. Now, those picks have to be right, you know, and you have to be able to say, okay, can this player be in this system and do the things that we need them to do well? Can we train these guys with our coaching staff? And so, big coaching staff, right? A lot of experience in that coaching staff, too. Are those guys going to be able to fit together well? That's, to me, is one of these things, these underrated things about the draft. And I'm sorry to take your question in a different direction. But, like, it's one of these things that's also in life. If you don't go to the right place, and if you're not in the right situation, it's going to be very difficult for you. I mean, I've experienced this professionally where it's like, okay, I took this job. This job is great. Oh, well, I could go to this other job. Well, maybe let's go do that. And that, boy, this is not really what I thought it was going to be. Uh-oh. Like, and it doesn't necessarily mean I am bad at my job or whatever.
It just means there's an element of right place, right time, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that's the other aspect of this. And guys who are able to thrive under Antonio Pierce might not be able to do so elsewhere, right? And the same is true. You know, guys who might thrive elsewhere might not be Raiders, you know? And that's something that Pierce has talked about. And I like that. I think that if you are going to have a head coach who wants to really be, and really create, I should say, a pure identity for what a team should look like, then that's what you got to do. And you shouldn't be afraid to embrace that.
And I think that's what's been great and really refreshing for us, granted, in the early days, weeks, months of the Antonio Pierce-Tom Telesco partnership, is that there is that understanding of being true to yourself, of being authentic. Antonio said it during the Super Bowl, Super Bowl week. He goes, look, he goes, I'm looking for a certain type of guy. I'm looking for a certain type of coach. And when he was talking about the coaching staff, he goes, at this point, you know, at this level of football, everyone can scheme. Everyone's uber talented. He goes, I'm looking for guys that fit and buy into what we want to do. And he said, look, There's going to be guys that are great on paper and have incredible minds, but don't fit our kind of mold. And I think that hearing that honesty is refreshing. Like, look, you know, to your point, you're great at what you do, but maybe you're not a fit here.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yes.
But before we let you go, Miles, one of the things I love about having you on is that obviously you cover all 32 teams. You are dialed in on 32 different markets and 32 different folks who are, you know, moving and shaking in the NFL. As we zoom into the AFC West, though, my goodness, we are never boring, right? You look in Los Angeles this year, Jim Harbaugh at the helm, what the Broncos are going to do with Russell Wilson, incredibly interesting. The Chiefs just won a Super Bowl again, and here we are with the Antonio Pierce-Tom Telesco marriage off and running. When you look at the AFC West, what are the big storylines, the things that you want answers to in the coming weeks and months?
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, let's start with the Chiefs, right? I mean, are they going to be able to retain Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed? That's something that Brett Veach, their GM, was talking about earlier today, where he says, you know, we do have a tag, and I anticipate probably using it to maybe try and help keep both of those guys. So that's something that's really interesting. And, I mean, when you're talking about those are two elite players. Right, and I cover the Rams for a long time, as you know. I don't know who in the audience is, but you know, if you have guys like an Aaron Donald and a Jalen Ramsey, right? Like, you got the guy who can rush, the guy who can cover. That makes everybody else's job on defense that much easier. So, if the Chiefs are able to keep those two guys, it certainly helps them in trying to defend another Super Bowl title. The next thing, I guess, would be Russell Wilson, right? I mean, I think we all anticipate he's not going to be back with Denver next year, no matter what he said on Brandon Marshall's podcast. Sean Payton was saying he thinks a resolution will happen in the next 2 weeks. So that's something where it's going to probably be, if I had to look into my crystal ball, a release with a post-June 1 designation so they can spread out that cap hit over the next couple years. That's just the thing that makes sense. I'm really interested to see where Russell Wilson might end up. Could he end up somewhere else in the division? I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a guy that could take a veteran minimum salary because he's got all this other money coming to him because of the contract he signed with the Broncos a couple years ago now. So that's interesting. And then the Chargers, look, I don't know what the Chargers are going to be. I think that they're going to be better. You know, teams that hire Jim Harbaugh don't usually get worse. Right? That he is a really, really good football coach. I think we all know that. And he has the reputation for grading on people. But they've got so much to prove. I mean, I don't know. Every time you hear about the Chargers, it's like, man, they won the offseason. Are they going to win the offseason again? Like, that's nice. I don't know. Let's see what they do on the field.
Yeah, and then there's us who are certainly, you know, looking ahead to brighter days, to more consistent days, to infusing a lot of talent into a roster that already has, like I said, a lot of pieces, but to
certainly.
Your point, also something to prove going into 2024. Miles, before I let you go, though, where can the people find you? Give me all the plugs. You got 30 seconds.
You can find me at ProFootballTalk.com. Of course, where you can find all of the articles on all 32 teams and everything that's happening on the NFL, and also on the at NFL on NBC YouTube page, because that's where we do Pro Football Talk Live. You can check out all the clips from that, and in the last couple episodes of the Peter King podcast. Obviously, Peter King announced his retirement earlier this week, so we're going to do a couple more episodes of that, finish that thing up, and then we will put that thing to rest.
Miles Simmons, friend of the program, like I said, always so good to see you on the record, off the record, everything in between. Best of luck, and we'll see you soon, all right, brother? And just like that, we put a bow on the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. Big shout out to our guy, Miles. As I said, always great to see him. Make sure you follow him on the Twitter, the Instagram, and read all of his fantastic work at Pro Football Talk. But as I said, Combine officially in the rearview mirror, which means, and I can't believe this happens every single year the way the calendar falls, which means free agency opens next week. Now, let me clarify. The free agency legal tampering period begins a week from today, which is Monday the 11th. But the start of the league year, which is essentially the start of free agency, the official start of free agency, as it were, is a week from Wednesday, March 13th at 1 o'clock p.m. I can't believe it. Here we go again. We are also entering my favorite period of the year, which is hashtag cryptic tweet season, because beginning, I mean, probably really at the end of this week, players across the NFL, players, coaches, executive, it's my favorite thing. We're going to get all these cryptic read between the line texts. We're going to get the handful of emojis put together. We're going to get the song lyrics. We're going to get it all. And it is going to be so fun. It is so entertaining to try to parse through all of this and figure out what is what, who is going where. And look, it's going to be a fun, exciting, active free agency period. It always is. And again, we will be here at Raiders.com, Silver and Black Productions, the entire journey with all of you. But as I said, legal tampering begins a week from today, which is on Monday the 11th. So essentially that is when you will see the Adam Schefters, the Ian Rappaports, the Tom Pelisseros of the world tweeting out that players have, quote, agreed to terms or have an agreement in principle, whatever verbiage they're using with their NFL clubs, right? So if free agent X has agreed to terms with the Silver and Black, you will probably see that verbiage from the Rappaports, the Schefters, folks like that. What you will not see are any official announcements from the Raiders or any other club until Wednesday at 1 o'clock, because that is when the league year starts. That is when teams can begin officially signing and announcing deals and players, players that will be joining their team. So that's kind of what we're looking at, which it literally feels like we were watching the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas yesterday. Then we flew to the Combine, and now we are getting ready for the start of free agency. I say it all the time, you have to give the league credit for turning this into a 365-day-a-year league. It's a lot of fun for us. As I said, it gives us a ton of stuff to talk about, and we are going to have you guys covered every single which way beginning next week for the start of free agency. And you better believe, man, we're going to have a lot to discuss, a lot of conversations to have with hopefully some new members of the Silver and Black, but our friends around the league as well, to kind of put context to what we are seeing Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco do. Before we get out of here, though, just a shameless plug alert. Make sure you are listening to the Raiders NFL Draft Podcast. Bucky Brooks and Rhett Lewis are doing a phenomenal job covering the draft with a Silver and Black pair of tinted glasses. They sat down with Tom Telesco last week when we were in Indy. Really engaging conversation that those two were able to have with Tom, and some really fun little nuggets in there as well. So again, I encourage all of you guys to download, like, subscribe, all that good stuff to the Raiders Podcast Network in general, in everything that we're doing. But really, the Raiders NFL Draft Podcast has been dominating. It's been really, really cool to see those guys really kind of take their craft to another level in terms of everything that they're doing for Silver and Black Productions this year. So big shout out to Bucky and Rhett, and big shout out to all of you guys for coming along this this little adventure with us. And until next year, because we will be back and it'll be here before you know it, thank you for listening to First Stop Indy.